Welcome back to Live, Laugh, Lovin' It. I'm your host, Angelina. I'm so excited that you are joining us today, and I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did. This is my friend Sarah. She is literally amazing, and we met through pageantry, which is so cool of an experience to have, like, a system where it's got the stereotype of like horrid girls and hating everyone, and there's just been so many positive people. So this is someone that I have met through pageantry. And Sarah, I will let you take it away and give us your own little intro about yourself.
Perfect. Hi, my name is Sarah Milliken, and I'm from a small town in Alabama. If you couldn't tell by the accent, we'll get used to me sounding like cornbread eventually. But I started competing in pageants about 7 years ago, and it's just been such a fun journey. I've met so many amazing people like Angelina. Just I love pageants. I'm very passionate about seniors and advocating for them, being a buddy for them, and really just spreading kindness and positivity to anyone I can.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. I love just like what you are about and what you stand for. Okay, so we're going to hop right on into it. So what made you start pageantry?
I watched Miss Universe 2015, and if anybody remembers, something really big happened that year. Steve Harvey announced the wrong winner. And just seeing the way that all the girls came together and just rooted for one another, I was like, okay, that is amazing. But look at me, I don't look like a Miss Universe. You know, you see these perfect swimsuit bodies. So I thought pageantry wasn't for me. And funny enough, about a month later, I got a letter in the mail from National American Miss inviting me to an open call. And the rest was kind of history. Went to the open call, loved it, went to the prep sessions, loved it even more. Competed at the state pageant, and I didn't get the result I wanted. I didn't even place in the top. I think it was top 10 at that point. So I was a little devastated, but then I started competing as a teen. I didn't win that year, and I was very devastated with that. So I actually took a little bit of like a pageant retirement. But last year, last May, which is funny enough, it's May now, I decided that I wanted to compete for NAM once again. So this month I'll actually be competing for the NAM Miss Alabama title.
Okay, that's amazing. So how many years did you take off from pageantry after that first initial NAM?
I think it was like 6.5, 7 years.
Okay.
Depends on if you want to count this year that I've been prepping for it. Technically
okay,
six,
yeah.
But seven between each year and NAM.
Okay, yeah. So after taking kind of that big chunk off, what brought you back? Like, what was your reason for coming back, and like, why now?
Yeah, so my dad passed away 3 years ago, and it was something that was very unexpected. He passed from a heart attack, and it was then that I learned truly how precious life is and that you should never take a moment for granted. So this year, or this past year in 2023, I saw pictures from NAM Alabama, and I was like, okay, I'm going to be there next year. So I started prepping literally that day. I started prepping my walk, hired a coach, and I've been prepping ever since then. I was just like, you know what, we're going to do it. We're not going to look back and 50 years and wish I would have done it. I'd rather look back and say, okay, you know, at least I tried, than say, I wish I would have tried.
Yes, it's always so much better to not have that, like, but what if? And you could be like,
right.
Well, but I did. But this is
exactly
how it went. So how long have you been prepping for NAM Alabama? You said, like, about a year?
About a year. So
okay.
They do a Memorial Day weekend, or they have the past couple years. So last Memorial Day weekend, it was that Monday, I saw the winners, and I was like, okay, I'm ready. So honestly, from that day on, there's been some type of preparation, whether it's working a walk or, you know, doing more intense things, like learning routines, learning intro, that kind of thing. I've been prepping pretty heavy for a year now.
That's amazing. Okay. So like what is your, I know everyone's prep process is so different. Like mine, I prepped for, I think about a month,
mm-hmm.
because I decided to sign up so last minute. So what does your prep process look like?
So in the beginning, I really wanted to focus on being able to be my best mentally. After I competed at NAM last time, it did kind of affect me mentally. Which I'll get into that just a little bit. I feel like it kind of sets the tone. I had a very toxic ex-boyfriend tell me about 2 weeks before my last NAM pageant, well, good luck with that pageant. You're ugly. You're not going to win anyways. So when he said that, I was like, I'm going to go win. I'm going to show him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. So in my mind, the only thing that possibly could mean was that he was right. And of course, that was the furthest from the truth, but 17-year-old Sarah had no idea that. She thought that the only thing that can mean was that he was right. So I wasn't in the best spot mentally last time, so I started now with the mental prep. That's really been what I focused on the first 6, 7 months. And now I've really gotten heavy into, okay, now I'm really practicing my walk. Now I'm at this point that I'm like, at this time, we're just gonna polish things up. I feel like there comes, when you've been prepping for a year as heavy as I have, you can definitely prep too much, because now I've kind of gotten to that point of like wanting to nitpick little things that there's no point in nitpicking that. So right now I've just kind of been relaxing, getting in the right headspace and packing, making appointments. It's like I'm at the nitty gritty part. I'm really excited for.
Okay. Yes. How has your coach helped you through the mental side? Because I know the mental side, sometimes coaches are great with it and sometimes they're not.
I have to give like the biggest shout out to Katie Stover and Amanda Moreno. They have such an amazing coaching team, and I'm so blessed to have them as my coaches. They are the type of people that no matter how I'm feeling going into a session, I leave 100 times better. There's been times that I sat, you know, going into a coaching session, I get my phone out, get my tripod out, like I'm ready, and I sit there thinking, this is pointless. Why am I doing this? There's no point in even practicing, no point in even prepping. Why am I doing this? And then I'll spend an hour in coaching and just come out an entirely different person, ready to take on the world, take on this title. So I'm really grateful for them and the ways that they really poured into me. I think having a great coach is 100% the most important part about prepping for a pageant, just to have somebody there to cheer you on and to be there to celebrate the little wins with you as well.
I love that. Okay. What is maybe like a special moment or memory that you have from pageantry that just makes you so excited to go into NAMM Alabama and make those memories again?
So I competed at UNM Sweetheart back in January. And if nobody's familiar with UNM Sweetheart, essentially it's like a practice pageant. There is no kind of title that you win. Well, I guess you can win the Sweetheart title, but there's no kind of commitment to nationals. Essentially just practice if you want to get on stage for the first time, you're preparing for a pageant like NAMM. It's wonderful for that, so I highly recommend checking to see if your state, local UNM pageant has that. But I competed there back in January, and I kind of went into it with just an open mind. Okay, I can't win anything. I don't have anything to prove to lose here. I'm just here to have a good time. And the funniest thing, they had the Miss contestants in the same dressing room as the junior princesses and princess girls. So it was us grown-ups, I guess you could say, in there with the little kids. And I love that. Just being able to meet them and hug on them and love on them and encourage them. Some of them, it was their first pageant. So being able to be there and encourage them. But I think my most specific memory from that weekend is, one, singing Jingle Bells in the middle of January with one of the junior princess contestants before competition. It's just what she needed in that moment to psych herself up and get in the right headspace. So I was happy to sing with her, even if we had been past Christmas a month now. But the one memory that really, really sticks out from that weekend is I am not a dancer. I know my strengths. Dancing is not one of them. So I am about 5'2", 5'3". I got in the very, very back of the opening number dance. It was really difficult. We were in heels. We were tired. And luckily, nobody could really see me that well, because some of the junior princesses and princesses started cheering for me and telling me that I had slayed, that I had ate and devoured, left no crumbs, all the fun little things that I really don't even know what that means, but I know the 6-year-olds are saying it, so it must be kind of cool.
Right.
And they were just cheering on me. I got so distracted just hearing them cheer my name. I knew that I made such an impact on them. I left that pageant, and I went and told my mom, like, I won. Like, that's all I needed. That's all I've ever wanted, was to make an impact on the younger girls, to inspire them and let them see that, okay, if she can go after her dreams, I can too. So knowing that I made such an impact on them, you know, not only made me feel good, but it was fun to just dance with them and have that moment with them.
That is such a special moment. I think it's so fun of like the impact that we don't realize it until we're sitting there with those little kids and they just are enamored with you. Like, it's
Absolutely.
Just their favorite thing. Like, oh my gosh, she wants to say hi. So kind of going right into that, what is your biggest tip for girls who are competing, whether this is their first pageant or their 100th?
I think just going into it with a positive mind and a positive outlook. There is one thing that we are guaranteed that weekend, and it's that we cannot control the outcome. You can practice your formal wear walk a million times. You can answer every single interview question in the book. But at the end of the day, none of us is guaranteed an outcome. Nobody is unbeatable. Nobody's guaranteed a crown. So just going into it with an open mind and having a goal that is bigger than the crown, whether it is to sing Jingle Bells backstage with a princess contestant or to just do your personal best. I think as long as you have a goal so much bigger than the crown, you will never leave disappointed.
Yeah, I love that. With this being Name Alabama, I know you, I think we talked a bit. It's a 4-day pageant.
It technically
Or
3
something.
days, but I am
Okay.
going a day early and staying a day late just to chill and relax.
That's just, I think, the best way to do it, 'cause then you're not stressed and feel like you're just like go, 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 go.
Oh, yeah.
What is like your thing for this pageant? What is your main goal? Title or no title, what do you want to walk away with?
I want to be able to make more of an impact on the younger girls. That is something I was so blessed to meet so many girls, so many younger girls at UNM, and seeing what I could do in 2 days, I'm like, okay, I can double that impact in 4 days. And actually, some of the littles that I met at UNM, they're going to be competing at NAM as well. So
Oh,
one of
that's
those goals is that Friday, being able to go to their optional competitions and cheer them on and hug them and love them because I haven't seen them since January. But really just finding the shy girl. And whether it's at the PJ party, well, I guess it's not a PJ party this year, but the pink party, and dancing with them, singing with them, making them feel comfortable. NAM became such a safe space for me, and I want to help another girl make it a safe space for her as well.
I love that, and I love that you brought up the safe space kind of aspect of pageantry. What has kind of made it so that you could feel like NAM is a safe space for you and just pageantry in general? Was that like outside, inside? What do you want to, anything you got?
So I feel like in general, it's hard to find just a group of people that are so genuine and so supporting of you no matter what. And you would think in such a comp or competitive environment like a pageant that you would not be able to find that. But realizing that the girls at pageants truly are the best part. I don't think I've ever met one girl that was just mean and sour. So being in an environment that has so many encouraging people, so many empowering people, girls that share their stories, whether it be about past trauma or their mental illness or even body positivity like I like to share. Being in an environment with so many empowering women has made it such a safe space for me that I feel like I can fully be myself and everything that I want to be. And they encourage me to, strive to be better for myself as well.
I love that. So you brought up body positivity, which is something that is so near and dear to my heart as well, competing, because if it's not obvious, I'm not a size zero. And so like I definitely have seen the anxiety that comes up with like when I have to get dress sizes and we're having to all order dresses. I'm like, that's not my size, and everyone thinks it is. What is a way that you kind of handle that? Going in of like just making sure you keep it so positive, because I've seen you keep it so positive, and I love that about you. It inspires me daily.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much. That honestly means so much. That's always my goal is to be able to inspire somebody else, especially through pageantry. We have made it to where pageantry is so accessible and so inclusive, and I think that that includes with bodies as well. Just knowing that your body does not define you, that, whether you're a size 0 or a size 20, that doesn't define, how good of a title holder you can be. But for me personally, I've just gone into it embracing it. You can look at me and you can tell I'm not a size 0, so I'm not going to sit there and try to look like a size 0 or try to be a size 0. Just embracing it and being open with it. It's something that I've never been scared to share in an interview. Well, I guess I was scared in the past, but now I'm not scared to share it and just be open about it. Hey, I'm a plus size woman, and I think because of that, it's not going to hold me back from being a good Miss Alabama. In fact, it's going to make me a better one because I know I'm the type of Miss Alabama that girls that look like me and look like you, I know that's what they need to see.
Completely. I love that answer. So I know, and this is totally like share as much or as little as you'd like. You did mention like having that past trauma, being in an abusive relationship. And that is something that I hold so near and dear to my heart. And I'm actually working with them this year, an organization called The Turning Point, which I think they have in Alabama
Nice.
as well, that they work with domestic violence. So what was something like kind of the process of getting from him telling you you're not good enough to win it, and then that turning around of you're wrong, I know what's mine and I'm gonna go get it.
Right. I think time can heal all wounds, and it's truly something that, I carried with me since I was younger. I was about I was 16, turning 17 when it happened, and I'm 23, almost 24 now. So, you know, I think time heals all wounds, and just realizing that, you know, he was wrong. I don't know exactly what it was that just made it click in me that I was like, okay, he's wrong. He's a loser anyways. And I'm not going to sit here and bash on him because that's not what it's here for. But I'm like, you know what? At the end of the day, why care what one person says about you? You know, whether it was a toxic ex-boyfriend or your best friend, which your best friend shouldn't say those things about you, but no matter what, you know, one person does not define you. What one person says to you doesn't define you. How one person treats you does not define you. What defines you is how you can overcome those things and prove them wrong. And, you know, you don't have to win the pageant to prove your ex-boyfriend wrong if he says you're not good enough to. But as long as you go out there and try your best and put your best foot forward, you know, just being you simply is enough. You know, if you got a Miss Universe, you could crown 50 of those girls Miss Universe because they're not good. You know, iron sharpens iron in those situations. I say iron, which is not correct English, but it's fine. but iron sharpens iron in those situations, and just realizing that, you know, I'm here because I deserve to be here, because I'm worthy to be here, and that I am here for a reason. Just knowing that no matter what anybody says, whether, like I said, it's a toxic boyfriend, toxic ex-boyfriend, or somebody that you just don't get along with, they're not right. You are who you are and who you embrace in yourself.
I absolutely love that. And the way that you also, you could say all that you just said and you didn't tear him down at all, even though right. you have every, like, want to probably, sometimes you might want to do that just as like a, I feel like society kind of tells you like, oh, he's the horrible person and tear mm-hmm. him down. And I love how you were able to overcome that without tearing anybody down in the process.
Right, for sure.
That just shows such amazingness of you.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I think, you know, just being positive, you know, if I could sit here and I could say, you know, a list of mean things about him, but I feel like you are what you put out. And, you know, if I'm going to sit here and say like, oh my gosh, he's the worst person in the world. Okay, let's not make me. So I just fully believe in speaking positive to people, even if they don't always believe in it. You know, it's classic. Everybody says it, but kill them with kindness.
Exactly. I think that's always the best way to go. What is your favorite part of the prep process?
Ooh, I love picking out a gown. That is so exciting to me. And there are so many options. One thing that I'm so honored is to be sponsored by Sydney's Closet, who is probably the most inclusive gown designer in pageantry. They've actually teamed up with Jonathan Kane as well to bring even more inclusive sizes and styles to plus size women in pageantry. So, you know, being able to pick out my Sydney's Closet gown, I am obsessed with it. It's honestly my dream gown. Every time I put it on, I'm like, okay, I feel like Miss Alabama. Like, I see the sash across my chest, like the crown on my head. It's just something so magical. So being able to like pick up my gown and my wardrobe, all those little things, I think is so much fun.
I absolutely love that. I cannot wait to see your gown and watch you compete at NAMM Alabama. This is so exciting for me. So I know kind of everyone had like each system has their kind of phrase that they use. Like we have Be Ideal. And like studying the stage for life. What is NAMM Alabama? I kind of want to hear you talk about NAMM.
So NAMM is all about growing confidence. And my first year at National American Miss, I had a woman sit down and we talked. She's actually the first person I feel like truly, you know, spoke positivity into me being a plus size girl in pageantry. Her name's Miss Deb, and I'm like praying she's there this year. I don't know if she still works with NAMM Alabama. I know she still works with NAMM a little bit, so I'm hoping they'll run into her. But she told me, this is not a beauty pageant. This is a confidence pageant. And I was like, wow, that is so true. You know, National American Miss really prides itself on looking at the girl herself and not necessarily how she looks, which is why National American Miss and their message of inclusivity really spoke to me. So seeing, you know, we're not judging a girl by her beauty, but we're judging a girl by her confidence, and we're going to continue to grow it through the life skills that you gain, I think is so magical, and it's one of the things that really drew me into NAMM.
I love that. I think organizations like NAMM and Ideal, they are doing such amazing things to kind of break that stereotype of this is what a pageant girl looks like, and this is the only way she can look.
Absolutely.
What is your favorite like way to kind of keep your confidence up and keep your energy up as well? I know those are kind of like a loaded question there because for those who haven't done pageants, we know it. They're exhausting. It
yes,
is a lot of early
are.
Mornings and late nights and a lot of time on your feet and heels.
Oh yeah.
So what is
sure.
like your favorite ways that you survive pageant weekend?
I think don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, whether it is a mom in the dressing room, I was so tired at UNM. I was like, I physically cannot bend down to buckle my shoe. And just being like, hey, can you buckle my shoe real quick? Or me and some of the other contestants were like starving backstage. Hey, mom, can you run and go get us some French fries from Zaxby's? Never be afraid to ask for help. That is one thing I absolutely love about pageants. You know, you think, okay, we're gonna have a bunch of these crazy pageant moms who only want her daughter to win and won't help you. That is the furthest from the truth. Just being able to, you know, reach out and ask for help when you need it, and also prioritize yourself. I think that week leading up to a pageant is just as important. You know, you can wait and pack at the last minute and have to spend that entire week stressing out about getting everything together and doing all the things. You know, that's just gonna have your energy low going into pageant weekend. So, you know, preparing, you know, packing 2 weeks before, having that all taken care of. That way, when you come down to the week of the pageant, you can focus on doing the fun things that we love to do to relax, like getting your nails done, getting a pedicure, getting your hair done, getting a facial. You know, having that to look forward to and really have a reset at the beginning of the week so you can go into pageant weekend being 10 times more energized is definitely one thing I try to do.
I love that. I kind of going on that. I want to kind of talk about the after side because you've competed before, of how you rest and recoup walking away from a pageant.
Right. So I didn't do this last time, and it's the one time that I haven't done it. When I competed at UNM, I only took off that Friday. So I did not take off the day after the pageant, and I had to go straight into work. Do not do that, girls. You need a day after to relax, to do nothing. I spoke earlier that I actually had a hotel night the day of the pageant, so I'll be staying an extra day. That is because I want to sleep in. I want to sleep in a comfy bed. I want to get up and cold room service. Just be able to have you a reset day. Now, I know it's not always ideal after a pageant to, you know, you've done all this. It's sometimes just hard to rest and relax. You want to, you know, hit the ground running. You know, if you win the title, you want to get started on your year. If you don't, you want to get started preparing for the next year. But just setting at least that one day aside to relax and reset and, you know, just focus on you and self-care, I think is so important.
I love that. I think it's so important with work and all of that because it is so easy to just want to take off that day just so you don't miss work and
Right.
really allowing yourself to like, okay, I need to take care of myself. I need to do something for me. So I know kind of I think a little bit, but let's talk about like what you do for work to the extent that you would like to share.
Yes. So I work, I'm a professional makeup artist, and I do that primarily on the weekends, but I also work a 9-to-5 job for an endeavor of the Fort Spanish Creek Indians. I work in the promotions in their online gaming department. So basically what I get to do is make all these fun promotions, come up with catchy little slogans, which I absolutely love. If you ever come on our website, you will probably see a couple like tiny little Taylor Swift references because I try to sprinkle those in when I can. But it's such a fun job being able to, you know, use my brain and creativity. I love it. I love coming up with all kinds of fun promotions, and it's even more fun when you pass a billboard 100 miles away and see something you came up with.
I absolutely love that. That's the best part of, I feel like, marketing in general. Okay, so how do you kind of balance life of competing in pageants because they can get very expensive while also time expensive as well, and kind of balance that with working a corporate job?
Right. So I fund primarily everything myself when it comes to pageants. I'm just a do-it-myself independent type person, so that is kind of what I choose to do. I think it is so important to plan in advance so you can budget out and kind of make a plan along the way of what to do when you do it. So for me right now, I'm really focusing in on, you know, finding or finalizing those last few expenses, such as on pageant weekend, you know, getting snacks together. You know, getting my stuff for my facial, my mani-pedi, all that kind of fun stuff. And I actually had a plan set out starting from late last year where I said, okay, this is what day I'm going to pay this optional contest. I'm going to pay this part of my sponsor fee. So just being prepared, you know, you can always sign up for a pageant last minute, but it's not always going to give you enough time and flexibility to really budget out and make payments that works with you and works with your financial situation. So it's always really helpful to just be prepared in that aspect. And when it comes to time, I feel like you can always find a moment in your free time, in your personal time, and even your work time to prepare for a pageant. So for me, I have a really, really long office. We have a long hallway, and that is where I will sit there and practice my runway walk when nobody's watching because I'm not quite that confident yet. But also when I'm doing a meeting, that gives me a chance to work on my public speaking skills, work on my interview skills. You can always, take these little life skills that you'll learn from NAM, learn from Idle Miss or any other kind of system you're competing in. You can take these and use these in your day-to-day life, which will turn around and help you in your pageant life as well.
I absolutely love that. I love seeing people because I think some aren't used to seeing people who work corporate jobs also competing. But the more I talk to girls, the more I see, like, wow, a lot of girls in the Miss Division with us are like actually just doing corporate jobs. And I think we should show that more
Yeah, for
compared to
sure.
like everyone's paying it for you because these things get expensive quick.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So there are obviously different areas of competition. For those who don't know, some have almost always you'll have like an evening gown or like formal wear, an interview, and then they kind of will interchange if they do like a fun fashion, a swim, casual wear, active wear, talent, spokesmodel. What is your favorite like main area of competition, and then your favorite optional?
This is so hard. It's like picking a favorite child. So I love to yap. I love to talk. Me and Anthony are talking. Professional
Professional
yappers over here.
yappers.
Exactly. So I've always loved interview and intro. That's always kind of been my thing. But this year, I think my favorite, the one I'm looking most forward to, is formal wear because that was always my weakness, and that is the one thing that I have like worked my booty off for is getting down this formal wear routine and really polishing and perfecting that. So I think that's the one I'm most excited for because I feel like, okay, if I can go and slay it, it's our first area competition. So I'm like, okay, if I can do that, if I can, do it to the standard that I wanted, that is going to bump my confidence up like 20 notches for interview and intro that weekend. So I think I'm most excited for formal wear this year. It might be my favorite now, but we will see. And then for optionals, again, professional yapper, so it's always been spokesmodel. But this year, I really wanted to push myself out of my comfort zone and compete in optionals that I've never competed in before. So I signed up for casual wear, and I've really been loving that one. I think it is so much fun. It's just like running across the stage. Not really. Don't run across the stage. That's bad advice. Don't listen to me. But just,
Amanda, Katie, don't worry. She's not going to run
I'm
across the
sorry. I'm
stage.
not going to run. This is not Fun Fitness. We're not doing that. But, strutting across the stage, doing all the fun little turns is something that really came out of my comfort zone with. I'm not a turner, if that makes sense. But not something that I always like to do. So being able to really challenge myself, have several turns, several little different steps in there. I'm really excited to see how casual wear goes.
I'm so excited for you. So, do you have all your wardrobe down, or are you still like trying to lock in any last minute pieces?
I have it all, but I don't have all my rehearsal outfits because I'm a shopaholic, so I'm like, I could buy one more outfit, but I think I have everything.
Okay. So, do they do for rehearsals, are they like set together? Like set
So
outfits and such?
they do not. For nationals, they do, which I think is so much fun. They have like theme rehearsals. So
Oh
that's
my
one
gosh, I
reason I'm
love
like,
that.
oh my gosh, I would love to go to nationals because I would love to do. I already have like my state pride rehearsal planned. I have my universal theme rehearsal plan, so I am ready for all of that. But for state, they just have wear what you want, be comfy, be casual. But I have some of my favorite outfits that I plan to wear, so I'm excited. And oh my gosh, this is just like a random like tidbit. I love Taylor Swift, and I said that earlier. I will talk about her all day long. But they actually made like an Eras Tour themed NAMM Summer Tour t-shirt.
Oh,
So
I've seen
I'm
this.
obsessed. Yes, I'm looking at it. It's like over there, but y'all can't see it, but whatever. But yeah, it's like an Eras Tour themed summer tour shirt. And I'm like, okay, there is a rehearsal. I want to say it is right before, it's right before something. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna want to wear something comfy. That's it. We're wearing that, our little tennis skirt, and I'm just so excited to wear
That is going to be adorable,
that.
and I literally cannot wait to see the pictures from this.
Oh my
I'm
gosh,
so
thank you. There's
excited.
gonna be so many outfit pictures.
So many outfit pictures. I love it so much. Okay, Taylor Swift, we're going to jump right into Taylor Swift because I think that's amazing. Have you listened to the Tortured Poets Department?
A million times, yeah.
Okay. What is, I'll give you a top three because it's so hard to choose like a favorite song
Yeah.
off of Tortured Poets Department.
Right now, and it asked me 2 hours from now, and it's gonna be just like totally
Literally,
different.
every time you hear it, like something changes, I'm like, oh, wait, there's a different metaphor there. I like that now.
Yeah. So right now, I guess I'm kind of in my happy era. Well, this isn't a happy song. I can do it with a broken heart. The beat's happy. It sounds happy.
Yes.
I really like So High School because I am a Taylor and Travis stan. I think they are adorable together. Love them. And then on the like completely opposite spectrum, So Long London. So sad. I love it, but it's so good.
I absolutely love those choices.
So what's your top three?
I think number one has stayed since release of I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. For, and it depends on like the day, because when it first came out, I was like, oh my gosh, this is reminding me so vividly of this time of, and I think I posted something on TikTok about it too, when it first dropped, of like I had gotten a text of the guy who I'd been dating and we ended things. It was the middle of the night, woke up like from a nightmare, and then I had to go to work at 8 a.m. and pretend like everything was fine. I work at customer service. I had to like totally like bubbly, happy, everything. But as I continue, I'm just like see little bits of it. I think that one's probably number one. I'm having to pull it up. I'm such a bad person. I have to pull up the track list. I literally have had it on shuffle so much that I can't like decipher the two of them. I think Florida, I love because there is a girl who did a choreography for it on TikTok. And I wish I could remember. I want to say it was Marissa Powers. And if I'm wrong, then I'll correct it in post editing. But I loved it and I learned it because I was a contemporary dancer for years and then I left dance. So I loved the beat of it. Ooh, but see, Down Bad is also so good. Down Bad, and I love the So High School, the Alchemy, because I love Taylor and Travis. I love watching that relationship. I even end up all the time like binging the New Heights podcast TikTok videos.
Oh my gosh, yes.
My favorite thing to do. Also, how did Jason lose his Super Bowl ring? That man does not care.
Casual,
Jason, we
whatever.
gotta put air tag on that thing. I think
Exactly.
those are all going in there. So prior to the Tortured Poets Department, what was your favorite song or album? Because I know there's so many.
Favorite album, probably Reputation. Favorite song, probably You're On Your Own, Kid. But again, ask me. Okay, that one stays pretty constant. Ooh, You're On Your
Yeah.
Own, Kid, or You're Losing Me. I always forget You're Losing Me, but it's like one of my favorites. I love Midnights. I feel like a lot of people don't like Midnights, but I think Midnights is a great album. It's definitely my top three.
Yes.
But yeah, You're On Your Own, Kid, or You're Losing Me. Long Live, we'll sprinkle her in there. But Reputation, girly through and through.
I absolutely love that. I agree with you. I think Midnights is so underrated. People hate on it. I'm like, for why? For why? I'm trying to think, what was the one that is the You're On Your Own Kid on Tortured Poets? Have you seen that going around that it's like this is the version, this is the newer
Oh,
version of You're On Your
yeah.
Own Kid?
Is it Clara Bow?
I think it might be. I think it might be
Yeah, I
Clara
saw
Bow
that.
or like something with Afraid. Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Just is like hilarious every time. Like
Oh
this
my
is
gosh,
yeah.
yes. And
Absolutely.
then, but Daddy, I love him, which I get like a small little shout out, which I mean, I don't think it's like a positive shout out. She's definitely shading with Sarah's, but I don't care. My name was in a song, so it automatically went like top of the list. I love that one.
Yes.
I think she is so funny with the I'm having his baby, no, I'm not, you should see your faces. I think that is so funny. I love it.
I think it's absolutely hilarious. I love her little like Easter egg. She's such an Easter egger and I love it so much.
Yeah,
Have
for sure.
you, I guess we're gonna kind of like go into music now since that's where I took this tangent. So obviously Eras Tour has been going on for about a year or so now. And in the non-US legs, Sabrina Carpenter was an opener for it. Are you a Sabrina Carpenter fan? Were
I
you a
love
fan
Sabrina.
before? What, now, were you a fan before she did the Eras Tour?
I was. I've loved
Okay.
Sabrina for probably almost a year now. I can't
Okay.
remember. When she started doing these nonsense outros, I was like, okay, wait a second. She is on to something. This is like pop girl
Yes.
energy. I love it. So when she really started
Yes.
heavy on the nonsense outros, I was like, let me listen to Emails I Can't Send. Love that album. I will admit I haven't listened to her older stuff quite as much, but I feel like she definitely has a different vibe now from then. But I really love her new stuff, and Espresso is such a good song. I
I'm so
cannot
glad you took it there.
Yes, I tell everybody right now it's like Depresso and Espresso because it's either the torture pose department or if I need like a little bit of a pick me up, I'm done crying for the day, I'll listen to Espresso.
Yeah. I feel like you.
I love her.
Yes, I feel like you cannot be sad listening to her new song Espresso.
Oh my gosh, like, I know. It's just like a
so upbeat, energy fun. Booster.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. I've been a fan of her since, like, 2013 or something. Like, way, way back. And so it's so fun to, like, see, oh my gosh, she's getting all this recognition. But also, I think her newer albums are so different than her previous music. She also, I think, tries to make previous music kind of hide. She's like, that's not
it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Which makes sense when you go from, like, 5 Disney album contract to you can now actually do your own music.
Yeah.
But I think it's so much fun. So I love that you've listened to Emails I Can't Send. Do you have a favorite? Have you listened to enough that you have like a favorite from her?
Espresso, definitely right now. I'm loving Espresso.
Yes.
But from Emails I Can't Send, that opening track, Email I Can't Send, I think it is so good. That is such a good song and just perfection and everything it is. I really like Opposite as well. Feather is a classic, but I think I've burnt myself up on it. Like, I've feathered myself out. Same with Nonsense. So they're great.
Yes.
I love, let's see, probably Emails I Can't Send, Vicious, and Opposite are probably my top three on there.
Vicious is so good. I love those ones. She's musically just amazing.
Yeah, she's like a pop princess.
She is. She's like a little Polly Pocket pop princess, and I love that she is now getting that recognition of it. And she's also just so, like, doesn't give a crap about anything.
Yeah.
Which I think is hilarious because it comes off so funny.
Mm-hmm, okay, for sure.
We'll jump back to pageantry since I went on this Taylor Swift tangent. I think we kind of talked about this a little bit, but we'll see if there's anything else you have about it, of kind of what it is like competing. Now, luckily, I think NAM is such an amazing system for inclusivity, but as a plus-size pageant competitor, have you noticed anything different, or just you just love it, and I love it so much about you?
Oh my gosh, thank you. Honestly, I think that it's, how do I want to say it? It gets to you only if you let it. So, you know, I can walk into a pageant and look at everybody who's a size 0 or a size 2 and be like, oh my gosh, I don't look like that. I have no chance. But if I just go into it and own it, like I said earlier, there's no way I can hold my hands, no outfit I can wear that's going to make me look like a size 0. And I'm perfectly fine with that, and I've accepted it. But just knowing that, you know, you're walking into a system that is inclusive and that, you know, practices this message of inclusivity. You know, having people that's reached out, and no matter what I look like, no matter what my size is, being like, oh my gosh, you're going to kill this. I can't wait to see you at the pageant. I can't wait to compete with you. Just knowing that, you know, you're in a environment that is inclusive, that is welcoming, I think is so important. You know, I could compete for different systems and try to like break these glass ceilings and, you know, shatter these stereotypes or, you know, go into these systems that don't necessarily have as much inclusivity as systems like National American Miss or Ideal Miss has. And, you know, I just don't think, I think it's wonderful for the girls that do go and, you know, try to shatter those stereotypes and really break these walls down within these systems. But for me, I think it's so important to be somewhere that I feel welcomed and where I feel loved. And National American Miss 100% is that for me, no matter what I look like, no matter what my body type looks like. And I just feel so welcomed and loved there.
I love that. I love the rose gold, too, with NAM. That is so
cute. I love it.
I absolutely love the rose gold. I love their sashes. They're adorable.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So walking into NAM Alabama, obviously you're going to come out on top as NAM Alabama, and I can't wait to see it. So what are you going to do with this title?
So I actually have a 21-page plan of everything that I plan to do as the next Miss Alabama. I created this honestly about 6 months ago, and I have held it like very near and dear to me. I've actually even created what I call like my Miss Alabama roadmap. But I'm superstitious, so I refuse to look at that part, but I got it in there. Like, we're not going to open. I have, like, a pageant binder, which is something, like, totally different. I got to talk about, you need a pageant binder. For all my pageant girls listening, get you one started. But I have it, like, in the back of my pageant binder, and I'm like, we're not looking at that until I get the crown. Like, that's the key. That's the password there. But for me, personally, I have this 21-page plan. And, you know, obviously in 21 pages, I can fit so many goals, but one of my main ones is just to show up and be there. I think it is so important to, as a plus size Miss Alabama, to be there, to show up, to show others that it is possible, that, you know, there are girls in the system that have won, that looks like you, that looks like me. I think just being there and being the face of inclusivity is really my main goal. Go into these open calls, to these prep sessions. You know, when you, I remember being there as a plus size 15-year-old girl. It was like, okay, they say they're inclusive, but are they? Where do I see this at? And, you know, I know that first of all, if I would have seen a girl that looks like me as a title holder at that open call, you know, I would have dove into this message of inclusivity so much quicker. But for me personally, the reason that I actually, after the open call, decided, okay, I'm going to stick in with this, I'm going to go for it, is I saw a plus size Miss Texas, and we had a similar body shape. And I was like, okay, she looks like me. I remember like bolting through the living room and like showing my mom, being like, look, mama, look at her. Like, she did it, I can do it. And I know if I can be that girl 8 years later for the next contestant who is looking for someone that looks like them, I know that I've done my job. I really want to encourage girls to compete in National American Miss, no matter what you look like, no matter where you come from, you know, whether you think you can or do it or not. It's such a welcoming system that is great for everyone. So that is my number one goal there. Number two, a few little small goals I'll throw in that's kind of fun, is I want to have every Miss State Queen on my podcast. I have a podcast as well called Girls Gotta Glow, so I'd love to have all of them on and share their stories leading up to Nationals. Another goal that I have is I actually want to visit at least one senior in every single county in Alabama. So I want to really take that journey of Miss Alabama statewide and not just keep it down to my small little area of the state and really expand. And another little goal that I have is, it's so silly, but I want to go and meet Nick Saban. I set that goal before he retired, and my first year at NAM, I'm a huge Alabama football fan. So my first year at NAM, the State Queens, I actually got to meet Nick Saban, and I was devastated. I was like, if I would have won, like, you're telling me I could have met Nick Saban, and I was so upset that I didn't get to do that. So Nick Saban, wherever you're at, like, if you want to meet, whether I get the crown or not, that'd be great. That's like one of my silly little goals that I have. I'd love to meet Nick Saban somehow. Somewhere or another, if not the new coach, Kalen DeBoer, I think is his name. I'm not gonna lie, I haven't paid much attention to him. He'll work too, but like, we'll take Nick Saban first.
Come on, Nick, make it happen, Nick. You can do this. Nick. We believe in you. What are your pageant binder must-haves?
Ooh, okay. Have all of your wardrobe and your hair and makeup ideas. Have them laid out. One reason I do this, I take my mom with me to every pageant. So I know if I have these laid out, I'm like, hey, mom, you know, I'm going to this rehearsal, but after this, you know, I'm going to need to go to, I don't know, interview, just throw something out. You know, can you have this laid out for me this ready so I can just come and do a quick little change? That is number one, because even though we know what we're going to change into, we know what we're trying to do, it's so much easier to kind of have this like clear, cohesive, you know, idea of you can share with others so they can help you out as well. Like I said, never be afraid to ask for help, even if it's from your mom, a friend, whoever. Another thing that I really like, and I can't take credit for this idea, I have to give a shout out to Risa. She is another NAM girl. She said to have messages, like little letters to yourself after each competition. You know, going into it, it's so easy to be like, oh my gosh, you know, no matter what, I'm going to be so proud of myself and be so confident. So if, you know, you go into spokes model and you stumble on your words, it's good to have a little message of encouragement from your past self. Just like, hey, you killed it. I'm so proud of you. You know, you go, girl. And another one that I really, really like, have a detailed schedule and have multiple of them. I like to have multiple of them because I'm the type of person that, like, I want to help not only myself, but others as well. So I know that if there's ever a situation that somebody was in their schedule, I can, like, oop, here you go. I got one.
I have one. Oh, my gosh. That's so true that you bring that up. Our state was tough because we had a smaller group at state, so and we also did it all in one day. Mm-hmm. So it was like we came the night before, we had rehearsal, we had our little PJ party. We also weren't in like, okay, it's a hotel and then you're in the ballroom of it. We're at a second place that you had to lug all your stuff in. And so with it being smaller, there was not like a lot of time between our different different groups. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, interviews in the morning, we have like maybe an hour break, if that. And that was only really if you weren't competing in optionals. And then it was like fun fashion and evening gown go.
Yeah.
And then right into crowning. So I was like, oh my goodness. Did that feel absolutely insane?
So quick. And you don't realize it. Like, you'll see a schedule and you'll be like, oh my gosh, I have an hour in between evening gown and this. And it's like, okay, that hour you have to think a lot of times, you know, either you're in a different location or you're going to be at this giant hotel that it takes 15 minutes to get from your room to the ballroom. So you've got to prepare that time to really, you're losing 30 minutes to walk here and back. Then you have 30 minutes to do whatever you got to do. There is no time. Don't plan for any free time on a pageant. It is crazy.
No, I think
and that's any system. Any system.
Literally. I remember looking at my schedule and I was like, oh, I have like 2 hours. And I was even talking to other girls in the Miss division. We were like, yeah, we have 2 hours because we're not doing optionals. This is amazing. We did not have 2 hours. We did not have 2 hours. We were our interviews ran late, and so then it was like, and they moved the other one up. It was a whole thing. It's like, okay, so the free time that I thought I had did not exist.
Not existent.
What is maybe, and you may have more than one, like a funny moment from prep that you just would love to share?
It's bad. I feel like I can laugh at myself. But that walk at the bit, like at the beginning, was not it. I don't know what I was doing. And I think the reason I laugh at it so far or so hard is because I did this like weird thing and I don't know where it came from. I don't know what hat I pulled it out of because I've never done it before. Like as I was, see if I can tilt this down. It like as I was trying to put my hands on my hips, I would like magic fingers and then put my hands on my hips. And it's like, girl, what are you doing? So I look back at those and I laugh pretty hard because I'm like, what are these, I don't know, weird.
Little that is spare one. Fingers.
Yeah. And then at the very beginning, I would heavily only practice the Taylor Swift songs. And I would go back and I would like watch these videos of me walking. And I would be like, what am I doing with my mouth? I realized that as I'm like practicing smiling and walking in a circle and doing all these things, I was like mouthing and lip syncing to Taylor Swift. And I was just doing it naturally, not meaning to. I'm like, girl, what are you doing? Let's not play Taylor Swift at the pageant because if I just sat up stage and started lip syncing, they're gonna be like, girl, this ain't the Masked Singer. Go home. We're not doing this. So those are two things I like to look back and laugh at. I'm very glad I got videos of those.
I think that's hilarious and I love that for you. Like, there's so many things that can happen on stage. And yours was Taylor Swift lyrics, and I love that.
Just, I mean, doing this little circle turn the whole time, just like mouthing the lyrics. Whatever.
Oh my goodness. No, I think I wish we had it on video, and I don't think we do from state. I tripped, but you can't tell. Yeah. I had like our fun fashion, and I had an overskirt, and I was running around backstage because we were all. It was crazy town and I went by myself. So like the moms were helping me, but also it was hard. And mm-hmm. I remember walking out, my shoes were too big and I went to step and turn and I stepped down on the corner of the skirt and I like kind of slid. So you can see it in my face. I didn't fall. Thank goodness I didn't fall on my face, but I slid enough and you could see it in my face. I was like, okay. And I think I also had like the little like rubber pasties, I had shoved it in the mm-hmm. back of my shoe. Like, oh, that will help keep my foot from getting hurt. Like, because the shoes were too big. I don't know for sure because I don't have it on video, but I suspect that they fell out. I don't know if it was on stage or if it was backstage, but I know that later on I was walking through and they're like, that's a little weird that those are there. And I was like, oh yeah, weird. Weird.
That's so funny.
Take those with me. So we have different shoes for nationals. I think that's kind of all I've got. Unless there's anything you want to do, we'll wrap it up. Any questions? Anything? Anything you have? Okay.
Perfect. I don't have anything. I don't think. I'm just so excited.
I love it. This was so much fun.
Yes, it really was.
I cannot wait to watch you compete. So is NAM Alabama being streamed? Are they just?
I don't think so. Okay. But I am trying to look and investigate, see if they are. I know that we're going to have the, if anybody's familiar with NAM, they would know that I am like Video Memories. They do a lot of the live streams. I don't know if they're going to be there. I know they're going to be there filming. Are they live streaming? I don't know. I don't think they do though, but I will let you know. I will keep you updated on that.
Absolutely. I cannot wait to see how it goes and hear from you how it goes and see all your beautiful outfits. This is so exciting. So you are, what, 2 weeks? 3 weeks away?
3 weeks. 3 weeks from today is check-in. So exciting.
Oh my goodness. Hopefully I get this up soon enough that it'll still be, I'm sure it'll be before NAM.
Yeah, but, either way.
We'll figure it out. We'll make it happen.
Stay
It was so
tuned.
good. Exactly. Stay tuned for Angelina to learn how to work her podcasting software. That's what we're at this point. It was so good having you on. This was so amazing. You're such a beautiful little ray of sunshine that I'm so glad that pageantry brought me, and I cannot wait to see where your pageantry journey goes. How many years of eligibility do you have left?
Have this year and next year. So we're getting down to it, which like freaks me out a little bit. But I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, I'd rather look back and be like, at least I tried, than look back and say, I wish I would have tried. So we're going to give it all I have for the next 2 years.
I love it. What is NAM's age gap? What is like their cutoff?
So they go from 4 to 24. And it's 24, let's see, your age as of January 1st. So I'll turn 24 this year, but my birthday is not till July, so I'll still have it until that January 1st cutoff limit.
Okay, for next year. Well, when you age out, come on over to Ideal. We'd love to have you. I think we go until 27, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, please come on over. I would love to have that, but I cannot wait to see where you go competing in NAM and getting to watch your road to Miss Alabama and then road to Nationals.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much. I'm so excited to see your Ideal as well. I told you,
thank
I think
you.
It's like such a cool and fun system, so I love that you're competing. Are they live streaming yet? Because I just want to watch.
They are live streaming Nationals, I think, to what I know of. I'd have to double check. I'll look, but I'll definitely look. I want to say they are live streaming Nationals, and we just don't know like our times until the week of, or as we get closer with like the schedule, because it's all changing as girls show up and as girls drop and figuring that out. I'm so grateful though that we I love dance, but we don't have an opening number dance. We have an opening number dress that we just wear for everything and like awards, but we don't have a dance. So I'm very excited to have like one thing left off my plate.
Oh yeah.
I keep thinking, how was like the dance prep side for NAM? Because y'all have an opening number dance for state?
We have an opening number dance, but we do not learn anything about it until that weekend. So we actually
Oh, you're
have,
kidding.
No. We have like an opening number rehearsal, and it's like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours long. And you just get it. You better learn it and get it. Which I will say they're usually pretty easy. That's nothing too stressful, but like I said,
they don't
want to
fall off the stage in heels.
Yeah, which okay, that is one thing I love about NAM. Shout out to NAM. It is blue jean shorts, a t-shirt, and white tennis shoes. So super easy to dance in compared to heels and a cocktail dress.
Exactly. Heels and a cocktail dress is not a fun time.
No.
I think that's kind of all I've got. Unless there's anything you want to do, we'll wrap it up. Any questions?
Perfect.
Anything?
Me,
anything
yeah.
you have? Okay. Perfect.
I don't have anything. I'm afraid. I'm just so excited.
I love it. This was so much fun.
Yes, it really was.
I cannot wait to watch you compete. So is NAM Alabama being streamed? Are they just?
I don't think so.
It?
But I am trying to look and investigate, see if they are. I know that we're gonna have the. If anybody's familiar with NAM, they would know that I am like Video Memories. They do a lot of the live streams. I don't know if they're going to be there. I know they're going to be there filming. Are they live streaming? I don't know. I don't think they do, though. But I will let you know. I will keep you updated on that.
Absolutely. I cannot wait to see how it goes and hear from you how it goes and see all your beautiful outfits.
You.
If you are not following her, I will link all of her stuff either on the screen or in the description of this somehow, because you absolutely should be following her. I think it's so much fun. She's got so many cool little things and has a cute little kind of bright sunshiny corner of the internet where it can be so very dark.
Thank you.
Of course, Sarah. It was great having you on. Do you have any last things you want to go for before we head off and continue to go? I'm sure we both have pageant prep we're going to go to right now.
I'm taking the day off for sure. But I just want to say that I'm so grateful to be on this podcast. And I'm so glad that, you know, pageants and social media, I was able to meet you. And, you know, just want to continue to support you. And y'all should all continue to support Angelina, you know, not only on her podcast, but also on her journey to America's Idealist as well. Always cheering you in with you.
Oh, I love you so much. Yes, Road to Nationals begins now. We have Nationals in July. So hopefully, I think we're less than like 80 days at this point, and that's a little stressful. But it's
getting
okay. I just
it.
Dropped. We're getting down to it. I dropped my fun fashion off for alterations today, but I'm still waiting for everything else to come in so that I can get it to her for alterations. And our opening number dress comes in July, and we leave in July.
Fun.
So we'll see how it goes, but it was so great having you on. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here with me, and I will see all y'all next week for next week's episode.
Thank you so much for joining for today's podcast. I loved having Sarah on and getting to talk about all things pageants, Taylor Swift, and body positivity. If you want to keep up with Sarah, I will have all of her information linked in the description of this podcast. And I can't wait to see you next week for another episode. Bye, guys.